All right. Again, thank you for being with us. I hope you're noticing that as we go on, the live stream has been getting better. All the staff here has been doing a phenomenal job preparing us and doing things that we weren't prepared to do before. But I do want to say particularly Brother Jeremy Esposito, Brother Nick Grandy, Brother Ross, and Brother, my son, Jack, have done a great job of getting the internet up to speed, installing thing, lights, get our live stream better each and every service. So I'm really thankful for the dedicated work. I'm going to take all of them out to lunch today, okay? Actually, it's all closed. We're going to Korean barbecue. I don't know how you do Korean barbecue drive through, but we'll figure that out this morning. Well, this morning, I want to encourage us a little bit. We live in confusing and uncertain times. And by the way, it'll pass, but it's just different. And everybody reacts differently. But there's one thing everybody wants when there's problems, trials, or uncertainty. Everybody wants leadership. They want someone who will give them a hope for the future. It seems like almost on a daily basis, a different governor or a local leader is imposing new laws, new restrictions, or they're talking to the crowd, and they're telling them what's going on. And to be honest with you, we have in some of our political leaders, we have seen some great leadership, but I'll just be real honest, in some of them, we've not seen leadership. They try to do the right thing while at the same time spreading fear and panic, and that's not leadership. Leadership tells you the truth. It tells you exactly what's going on. It tells you the measures that need to be taken and gives you hope that if the measures are taken, things will be better. But we need leadership. Leadership gives truth. Now, what is the best leadership that we can have in our lives? Spiritual leadership. And we have the greatest spiritual leader, and I'd say that, I don't say that in a downgrade, I'll tell you, but the greatest spiritual leader in our life, he's the one who created the universe, and everything is in his hands. Of course, we're talking about the Lord Jesus Christ. In John chapter 10, I've read the chapter many, many times this week. In the first part of the chapter, Jesus taught the people that were there with him, the Jews and some of the religious leaders. He talks to them about the sheepfold, the shepherd, and the robbers. In doing so, he introduced himself as the good shepherd. Now, contrasting that, he also introduced them to the real enemy behind all of our spiritual enemies, Satan. In John chapter 10 and verse 10, it says, "The thief cometh not but for to steal, to kill, and to destroy." We have a spiritual enemy that wants to wreck our life. We have a spiritual enemy that doesn't want anything good for us. But on the flip side, we have a good shepherd who says, "I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly." As we move on, after Jesus had his discord, several months later, we see this story taking place at the Feast of Dedication. The Feast of Dedication, we would also know it as Hanukkah or the Feast of Lights. It commemorates the rededication of the temple after the Maccabean uprising, after it had been desecrated by the Romans and Antiochus Epiphanes. He had desecrated the temple. And the Jews had rose up and they had taken the temple back and cleansed it and rededicated it. And that's where Jesus is. It was an 8-day festival. And so Jesus is there. It's in the winter. He's in the little porch there and he's kind of enclosed in because of the weather elements. And the Jewish leaders come and they're like, we're going to nail him. We're going to talk to him very straightforward and we're going to find out who he really is. And so they ask him, verse 24, "Then came the Jews round about and said unto him, How long didst thou make us to doubt? If thou be the Christ, tell us plainly." They say, "Enough's enough." Now, by the way, we'll see that Jesus had already told them. They said, "We want to know. We got you cornered. You're right here. Are you the Christ or not?" Well, Jesus explains to them why they don't understand and why they don't have that answer already. Verse 25, Jesus answered them, "I told you, By the way, have you ever done that with your children? Hey, don't do that. Jack's here. I remember one time Jack, and I told the kid, hey, don't, when he was a little boy, he climbed up on the chair by the dining room table. I'm like, don't do that. And so he may have been two or three, and he climbed up on the table, and he fell off the chair. On the way down, he hit his head on the edge of the table, and then when he got to the floor, he slammed his head on the floor. Now, he wasn't hurt bad, but as a dad, I looked down at him and said, I told you. Now, compassion kicked in. I did give him a hug. I don't do that anymore. But we do that, right? I told you, Jesus. I told you. Verse 25. And ye believe me not. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me. Jesus explained to them that they had his words to prove who he was. They're like, tell us plainly. Jesus said, I've already told you. By the way, they didn't want to hear his words. In John chapter 8 and verse 58 earlier, Jesus had said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, before Abraham was, I am. By the way, the Jews knew what that meant. Everybody that heard that knew what he was saying. I am the Messiah. I am God in the flesh. I am one with the Father. So they were being ignorant in the fact that they didn't want to really hear who he was. They also had his works. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me. He had healed somebody who had been ill for 38 years. He had cleansed lepers. He had given a sight to the blind. He had given hearing to the deaf. He had cast out demons. He had made the dumb to speak. By the way, I hear dumb speak all the time, usually in news conferences. He had made the lame to walk. And yet, they would not believe. So, here's the point. He clearly reveals the problem to them in verse 26, and here it is. But ye believe not. I've given you my words. I've given you my work. And you're still asking. But ye believe not because ye are not of my sheep, as I said unto you. I think he's referring back to that conversation several months before. The sheep and the sheepfold. He says, listen, the reason you don't understand who I am is because you're not part of me. I'm not your shepherd. You're not my sheep. The sheep know and follow their shepherd. They were following a false shepherd. They were the ones who were deceived by Satan. They were the ones in John 10 whose life was being ruined because they're following the wrong person. They were blinded by religion. Without truth. They were unable to see and hear what the true shepherd said and did because they were not his sheep. But hey, that shouldn't be true of us this morning. If we're Christians and we're saved, we are Jesus' sheep and he is our shepherd. When we got saved, he became our shepherd. We became his sheep. And we have the leadership that comes with that in our lives. Now, as I've mentioned on many occasions, being called a sheep is not complimentary. Sheep are dumb. Sheep are not very intimidating. They are very fearful. They can get themselves into trouble. And as my daughter pointed out, I said this about a year ago, and my daughter pointed out that my football team, the Rams, a ram is nothing more than a sheep. But it's a sheep with attitude. We're not very bright. Look, the fact that he calls us sheep tells us right off the bat we need a shepherd. Mark chapter 6, verse 34. Jesus. And Jesus, when he came out, saw much people and was moved with compassion toward them. Why did Jesus have this compassion to want to help them? Because they were as sheep, not having a shepherd, and he began to teach them many things. One of the most dangerous things for a sheep would be not to have a shepherd. They were open and they would be done in by their enemies if they did not have somebody to take care of them. In Matthew chapter 9 and verse 36, but when he, Jesus, saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep not as sheep having no shepherd. So the pictures in the Bible Jesus gives that if there's sheep without a shepherd, they are in trouble. And that's what caused Jesus to look at them and have compassion, because he knew they were in for a hard time if they did not have a shepherd. So he explains to those lost Jewish leaders why they don't understand him. He also, on the flip side, is revealing to those of us who are his sheep what we get because he is our shepherd. And he's going to tell us that. Briefly, I want to point out seven areas where we can have great comfort from our good shepherd. And he lays it out for us in the following verses. Number one, we have the comfort of his voice. Look at verse number 27. He says very clearly, "My sheep hear my voice." Jesus had very plainly, the time leading up to that, he had told the people who he was. He had told them why he had come, and they didn't get it. Why? They couldn't hear his voice because he was not their shepherd. Oh, it entered into their ears. The words were there, but the truth behind it, they could not comprehend, or they would not accept, because they were not his sheep. But we are Christ's sheep. And as such, we should hear his words, and his words give comfort. What a comfort. Now, we don't hear his words audibly today. "Well, you know, I had a dream last night, and I heard God, and God told me to do this." That wasn't God. Now, his spirit may lead us, but God doesn't speak to us that way. You know how God speaks to us? God speaks to us today through his word. When someone says, "God told me this," the question we ought to ask is, what verse was that from? God will use the truth of the scripture, and as we see in a little bit, the Holy Spirit will help us with that. But God's not speaking audibly to us today. He speaks through his word. And we have that today. The reason the sheep can hear his voice, why others miss it, is because when we got saved, God's spirit indwelled us. And God's spirit has several roles he plays in helping us with the truth. Did you know the Spirit of God guides us into his truth? John chapter 16 and verse 13 says, "Howbeit," Jesus speaking, "when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth." How is it that we can understand the Bible once we are saved? How is it we can grow in our faith and grow in our understanding of God's word? Because the Spirit of God guides us. Have you ever read your Bible and something in the Bible will just jump out at you? And how often is it just the thing that we needed at that time? Because God's Spirit guides us into that truth. God's Spirit teaches us his truth. In John chapter 14 and verse 26, "But the Comforter," that's a great name for the Spirit of God, "which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things." We learn the truth. Those religious leaders were never going to understand the truth that Jesus was giving them, and they would never be a comfort to him because they did not have God's, they did not understand, they were not his sheep. And he reminds us, "and bring all things," the same verse, John chapter 14, verse 26, "and bring all things to remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you." You see, as we grow in our faith and we get to know God's word more and more and more, when situations in our life come and we have to make decisions or something's going on or we need help, the scripture that we have in our mind, the Spirit of God will bring that to remembrance. What about this truth? What about that truth? See, the comfort of his voice. So why do some people not hear it? Because they're not his sheep. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14 says, "But the natural man," the unsaved man, the man who does not know Christ, the one who is not his sheep, "receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned." By the way, there are people today that mock the beliefs of the Bible. They'll mock Christians for the things that they believe. And by the way, that's just who they are. That's foolishness to them because they're not saved. They don't have God's Spirit in their lives bearing witness of that truth. You say, "Now I know I'm saved. I'm one of his sheep. But I'm not hearing him." Why? Is it through personal neglect? Could it be because we are not listening to him? Could be because of some sin in our life that is coming between us and God. But God wants us through His Word, and God wants to speak. Look, if you're a little fearful at this time, if not, man, I'm not talking about just but you don't know what's going on, and maybe it's your job, maybe it's your business. You say, man, you need to hear God's voice. But sometimes we need to take everything out of the way and just stop and listen. Heard a story. Back in the day before refrigerators, they would have ice houses. These were very dark and thick walled buildings, and they would cut huge blocks of ice out in the winter, and they would put them there, and they'd cover them with sawdust, and if it was insulated enough, that ice could last into the summer, and that's where they would store their food. There was some workers there, and a man had lost a very nice watch of his in this ice house, and he and all the guys had been in there searching together, looking at it. One time when they went out to a lunch, there was a little boy there, and he heard about the man losing his watch. So during lunch break, the kid snuck into the ice house, and later on he came out and said, I got your watch. They were all amazed, said, we were all in there looking. How did you find it? He goes, I went in there by myself, I closed the door, and I put my ear down in that sawdust, and I listened, and I could hear the watch ticking. He had to get rid of all the noise. See, when we let these things come into our life and fear and doubt and all these things and all the voices, we're not going to hear God's voice sometimes, even though we are His sheep. But there's comfort when we can hear His voice. Secondly, I want you to see number two. I want you to see the comfort of His attention. He said, my sheep know my voice, verse 27 again, four words, and I know them. A sad thing about the words of Scripture sometimes, and I'm as guilty of it as you are. Sometimes as we read through the Bible and we read several chapters, there's a lot of words we're reading. And we'll miss a great truth or comfort in a little two or three or four word phrase. Just stop for a second. And I know them. Think of that. He knows us. I mean, the God of the universe, the Savior of the world says, they hear my voice and I know them. He knows us personally. You ever met a celebrity or someone who is famous? There's several times. Remember one time we were coming back from college, we saw Nick Van Exel. I don't know who was with us. And we saw, I was next to, in the airport, I was next to Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. He was tall. And by the way, I don't bother these. I remember one time I was at the airport picking up Dr. Seamer, and there was Sinbad. Now, I don't watch him, but I knew who I was. I'd heard of him. He was big at that time. By the way, his ride didn't pick him up. He was out there on the cell phone getting on him. But I remember one time years ago, I rented out the, we had a youth activity when I was a youth director. I rented out the ice skating rink over here in Carson. This was many years ago. And I went there, and I saw the manager. We were showing up. I was paying our portion. I said, hey, I'm Steve Myers. I'm from Pacific Baptist Church. He goes, hey, I'm Vic Vanaski. I said, I know you. I didn't know him. I knew who he was. Now, none of you would, because I like hockey, because that's a real sport, unlike, you know, sissy sports. And I said, you used to play for the Kings when I was a kid. And he goes, yeah, I did. Vic Vanaski. And I talked to him for a few minutes. And we all have stories. Oh, I met so-and-so, and I met so-and-so. Can I just tell you something? I met him. I talked to him for 3 minutes. That was it. Say, where is he now? I have no clue. He doesn't know where I live. I don't have his cell phone number. I don't know anything about him. I don't know him. I just knew who he was. Sad to say, a lot of Christians are like that with Jesus in our practical relationship. We study the Bible. We've trusted in him. We know who he is, but we've not had that close spiritual relationship with him. Did you know he knows you? John chapter 10, verse 14, I am the good shepherd. And I know my sheep, and what's the flip side? And am known of them. He wants to know us. By the way, you are a big deal to Jesus Christ. He knows when things are going well for you. He knows when things are going well. He knows when you're joyful. He also knows when you're down. He knows when you're trusting him. But he knows sometimes when your faith may fail and you struggle with fear. He knows when we have a lot, we have plenty in our life, but he also knows when we are lacking. Nothing about us escapes him because he knows us. That's why we can be honest with him about what's going on. So often Christians try to hide their feelings. They try to hide what's going on in their life from Jesus Christ. You ever get down to pray and God brings something to your mind that maybe you need to deal with and we try to hide it? Maybe we're just struggling with something and we're not honest enough to just go to Jesus and say, let me just tell you the truth, Jesus, I'm struggling with this. Why would we not go to him? He knows us. He loves us. He's our shepherd. And he wants to pay attention to us. Do we know him as well? And I'm not trying to meddle here, but do we know him as well as we know your favorite celebrity, your favorite sports athlete? Some of us, you know all the statistics of your favorite player. You know everything about your somebody. Tell me about your favorite team. And they'll tell you all the statistics, blah, 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 all the stuff. And you say, hey, tell me something about Jesus. And you get this stare. He died for me? That's good. I trusted him. That's good. Do you know there's a lot about him in the Gospels? He knows us. He makes sure that we know him because it's comforting to know that he knows us. There's also, thirdly, the comfort of his direction. Get back to verse 27. My sheep know my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. Sheep are totally dependent on their shepherds. Their safety depends on following him. Their destination, where they end up, depends on following him. Their provision, what they need in life, depends on their following him. The problem is we don't see it that way. We see ourselves, we don't see ourselves as sheep. We see ourselves as self-sufficient. Jesus, when I need you, I'll come talk to you. Jesus, when I want something, I'll let you know. Until then, I got it covered. We don't even realize, even when things are going well for us, the only reason that things are going well for us is because Jesus is allowing it to go well for us. He's providing for us. Didn't he tell the Israelites, hey, don't forget me when things are going well? Well, how was it going well for them? Because he gave them the victory of the battles. He gave them fields which they did not have to work. He gave them houses they didn't have to build. He gave them supplies and spoil that they did not have to earn themselves, and yet they would forget everything about him, and so do you and I. If we could only realize that everything we need in life, where we will end up in life, is determined on whether or not we follow Jesus. He tells us in John chapter 8 and verse 12, then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of light. What happens when you walk in darkness without light? You usually run into something. You usually trip over something. But he says, if you're walking with me, because I'm your shepherd, and you're following me as the sheep, you will not walk in darkness. You say, walking in darkness today. If you're saved, that's not because he wants you to walk in darkness. You're choosing not to follow his direction. There's a question people ask. What do you want from life? Where are you headed in life? People have desires. They want things. They want to accomplish things. But how to do that, how to get there, is an unknown. I saw a clip of Steve Young. He played for a really awful football team up north, a team which I think Satan's their owner, the 49ers. And Steve Young was a great quarterback. He said in the clip, he goes, you know, my dad asked me one time, what do you really desire in life? And he told his dad, I want to be an NFL quarterback. And his dad said, okay, what's your plan in life? And he goes, my plan is to be an NFL quarterback. He goes, that's a desire, it's not a plan. And that's how most people live their lives. They want something, but they have no plan to get to that thing. Wanting something is not a plan. All of us want things in life. By the way, most of the things we're trying to get externally is because we think they'll help meet the needs that we really have internally. You know what a plan is to get to where you want to be? Follow Jesus Christ. It's a great plan. I want joy in my life. Follow Jesus Christ. You know, I want to have a good family. Follow Jesus Christ. You got to have a plan. The plan is follow his direction. Any sheep that went their own way, they were putting themselves in harm's way of the thief and the enemy. Follow his direction. There is comfort in going the right direction, no matter the outcome. See, you know what we do? We watch the world doing their own thing and not following God's direction, and we think they're being rewarded for it, and they might be rewarded for it in this earth, but they're not really being rewarded for it in this whole scheme of eternity. In 1993, 128 racers were racing for the NCAA Cross Country Division II Track and Field Championship. It was a 6.2-mile run. And so these 128 athletes took off on this run. There was a clearly defined course, but what happened is one of the runners missed the turn and went, and everybody started following him. And one of the runners realized the mistake, and he stopped. He started telling them, hey, you're going the wrong way. This is the right route. And none of them would follow him. So he went the right route, him and three other guys. They finished before the others. The 124 others, they finished earlier because the route they took was actually shorter. What did the NCAA do? They rewarded those that took the shortcut. And the guy that went the right direction finished 125th. The world, they rewarded for going the wrong direction. Can I just tell you something? That doesn't work in life. If we go the wrong direction, we will not be rewarded. We need to follow the direction of our Savior. There's comfort in knowing, you know what? There's troubles coming my way, but there's comfort in knowing, but I'm going the right direction. I'm following my Jesus. Things will be all right. Number four, I want you to see the comfort of his security. Now he's going to talk about, I believe, eternal security. Verse 28, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. There's a comfort in life when we understand that where our eternal destiny is. When we understand that right now, if I've trusted Christ, I have 100% assurance of heaven, as if the same as if I was already there. He has given it to us. Knowing that we have an eternally secure future in heaven is extremely comforting. I don't care what's going on in this world. I don't care if everything goes horrible. I know that one day I'll be with my Jesus. I go to prepare a place for you. There's eternal security. He mentions it as a gift, and I give. It's there. We don't pay for it. We understand the verse, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. And by the way, he's talking about it in a sense as you already have it. If you're saved today, you're eternal secure. You're eternally secure in your eternal home. We have it now. A gift once given can't be taken back, or it was never a gift in the first place. Also, there's security in that duration. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. He says, you have it now, and you will never, ever perish. We are secure. One of the things Satan tries to get us to do, we get saved, and then he tries to get us to think that, is it not secure? It's as secure as Jesus Christ is secure. He gives us eternal life. There's comfort in know that if this world goes nuts and if this world goes crazy, heaven is still solid and secure. Look at these verses. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. Hath. And he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. Can I just tell you something? That's easy to understand. Years ago, I'll never forget, we were in Bible college, and me and a guy named Eddie Torres, we were witnessing to this guy, and he was like a young surfer-looking type dude, you know, and he had the whole, and we were witnessing to him. He goes, dude, I just don't want to do that right now. And my friend Eddie very kindly said, okay, do you mind if I just quote one more verse to you before we leave? He goes, sure. And he quoted this verse. He that hath the Son hath life, hath everlasting. He that hath not the Son of God shall not see life, but the wrath of God. And the guy just looked at him and said, that is a bummer to end on. But he understood it. If we have Christ, we have life. as if we were already there. And if we don't have him, we don't have eternal life. Could it be that we're struggling so fearfully in the present because we're not secure in our eternal future? There's comfort in knowing that eternal life is secure. And going along with that, there's also, number five, the comfort of his protection. The end of verse 28. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. Verse 29. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than they all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. If you look at these verses, 28 and 29, you'll see that it is an impossibility to lose eternal life once you have it. But there's protection in God's hand. Now, I understand this is talking about in the sense of our eternal security, but let's just dial it back a notch. What's another application of that? Hey, we're in God's hand practically. God is in control. He protects. His protection is on us. Nothing can happen to us that God does not allow. God is in control, and God takes care of all of that. We are protected. Think of Noah and the ark. Here was the whole world was going to be diluted with water, and everybody was going to be drowned, and they have the comfort of the ship. And at the top of the ship were the windows that they can see towards heaven, the one who was the source of their protection. Yeah, we're protected in God's hand eternally, and we have his protection on this life as long as we're following him. The last couple I'll mention here, I want you to notice the comfort of his deity, Verse 30, he says, I and my Father are one. What does that mean? Okay, look at verse 31. Then the Jews took up stones to stone him. They knew what it meant. And Jesus answered them, many good works have I done. Have I showed you from my Father? For which of these works do you stone me? The Jews answered, saying, for a good work we stone thee not, but for blasphemy, because thou, being a man, makest thyself God. By the way, he did not make himself God. He was God. That is clear in John chapter 1. It's clear in Colossians. It's clear everywhere in the scripture. Jesus Christ was God in the flesh. What does that mean? We don't just follow a shepherd who's just some guy who's ahead of us. We follow the eternal shepherd who is God in the flesh. Did not the wind and the seas obey his voice? Did he not give victory over death? Listen, he is God in the flesh. That ought to be a comfort. Many in our society, they misidentify Jesus. Well, he was moral man. Yes, he was moral. Well, he was a good man. Yes, he was a good man. He was a great teacher. Yes, he was. He was compassionate. He was loving. But if they don't take the next step and say he was God in the flesh, none of that has any meaning in their life. I'm glad that my shepherd is God in the flesh. I'm glad that everything that happens is under his control, and nothing will happen that he does not know about. If the Jesus you worship isn't God, you're going to be disappointed. By the way, he didn't leave us any other option, did he? Well, I don't believe he's God. I believe he's a good man. Well, he said he was God, so he's a liar. How can he be a good man? Well, I don't believe he is God, but he's a good teacher. How can he be a good teacher when he lied to us about being God? He would have to be delusional. No, he is God in the flesh. That is comforting. Why? Lastly, we have the comfort of his control. Verse 39. I like this. So they get all tweaked out. We're gonna stone this guy. We're going to kill him. Okay. Verse number 39. Therefore, they sought again to take him, but he escaped out of their hands. You know why? It wasn't his time. He said, not now. I'm out of here. And he just took off. They could do nothing to him until it was the time. Jesus didn't get caught outside of the garden because he wasn't fast enough. Jesus didn't get caught because he didn't have a plan and he didn't see it coming. We knew he saw it coming. He told the disciple, they're coming. Why did Jesus? Because it was his time. But this time, it wasn't his time. What does that mean? He's in control. Well, what's going on today? I don't know. He's in control. Well, I want better times. So do I. But that'll come when he wants it to because he's in control. We stress and we fear and we get confused when we try to take things into our own hands. But he's in control. I'm not saying stick your head in the sand. Okay, I'm not telling you. I'm just saying he's in control. Do what you got to do But understand, he is in control. Quit trying to take everything for yourself. What am I saying this morning? We have great comfort because if we are his sheep, he is our shepherd. I feel for people in this world that don't have a shepherd. There are people, and we've jokingly talked about the toilet, but all the stuff people are hoarding and trying to do and fearful and all those things, and I'm not saying be irresponsible. I'm not saying that. But I feel sorry for those people that have to do that because they don't know the good shepherd. They don't have his comfort. They have to live as long as they can because they're not sure what's on the other side, and they don't have any security about what's on the other side. I feel for them. But that's why the good shepherd came, so that we could be his sheep through his death. And I hope today that you get comfort from him. Let's pray this morning. I know we're not here at church. I can't come down the aisle, and I would encourage you very strongly in the comfort of your home to bow your head with your family, close your eyes, and let's think for a minute. This is all new to all of us. You know, I've heard pastors on social media and on the internet, like, you know, they didn't teach us this class in college. Well, they didn't teach us this class for life. But we have a great shepherd. I encourage you this morning. Are you fearful? Hey, let's get comfort from him. Maybe God spoke to you about any of these points. I hope that you're comforted in knowing that he loves us and he wants us. Also, I would be remiss if I did not say this. We talked about the comfort of his eternal security. Do you know, I'll be honest with you, if I didn't know Jesus Christ, I'd be scared to death. Not just about this, I'd be scared to death about my eternity. But you know what? You can become his sheep. You can know, how do I become his sheep when we receive his gift? How do I receive his gift? Do you understand today that if you were to die, that you would go to heaven? Are you 100% for sure? If you're there and you say, you know, I'm not sure I'm his sheep. By the way, if you're his sheep, you'll know. He said, my sheep know his voice. In other words, they're 100% sure that he's their shepherd. There's no doubt. If you have any type of doubt, you need to settle that today. On the screen, I believe, we'll have a number there. That's my tech. It's not my cell phone number. Most of you have that anyhow if you're in our church. But that's an app I use to send out birthday greetings. But on that app, if you'll text us your number, one of our pastoral staff can call you this morning and talk to you for a few minutes and let you know how you can know for sure when you die you go to heaven, how you can know for sure that you're one of his sheep and he's your eternal. Wouldn't it be nice to know that I'm in God's hand and nothing's going to pluck me out? You say, well, what if I'm not perfect? You don't have to be perfect. You just need to trust him. Let me pray with you this morning. Father, we thank you for loving us. We thank you that you are not just the shepherd, you're the good shepherd. Goodness is who you are. And Father, we're so grateful that we can take comfort this morning. And I pray, Lord, if there's any of these areas where we are struggling, or maybe we've just kind of let all the voices that are going on around us, and I'm sure, Lord, I've been checking on what's going on, but I think maybe some of us are checking so much, we're not checking in with the shepherd of heaven. And I pray you'd help us to get the comfort that we need. And Lord, if there's someone who tuned in, maybe they were invited, and they don't know you as Savior, and they're struggling with that, Lord, that we could help them with that. Lord, if they're out there and they just have a prayer request, I pray that they would send us their prayer request. We could pray for them. We're here. But Lord, help them also ultimately to know that they can come straight to you, the good shepherd. Bless us now until we meet tonight. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.